بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this Tuesday morning's edition of Living the Legacy. We are now, alhamdulillah, a week away from the month of Ramadan. In fact, in a week's time, depending on moon sighting in some parts of the world, next week, this time, we will have people already having begun their Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliver us unto the month of Ramadan and in a state that He is pleased with us. Allahumma ballighna ila Ramadan. وَأَنْتَ رَاضٍ عَنَّا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us, forgive us our shortcomings, and guide us on the straight path. And as we draw closer to the month of Ramadan, our focus turns to the heart and to taqwa. Coming up later on in the program, we'll be speaking to a scholar of Islam, an educationist, and an imam. Today in the program, we'll be speaking to Mawlana Zakaria Philander, and our topic is about taqwa and the heart. We're hoping that you'll be joining us for that later on in the program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are eager and excited about the month of Ramadan. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. But in this first two segments of the hour, our focus takes us to manners and how the Muslim, how the believer prepares himself or herself for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Now we know that in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 183 until 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers. And He says that observing a sawm, observing the fasting, is prescribed to you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become of the Allah-fearing, meaning from amongst the muttaqun. And then these ayat until 187 continue to describe and explain to us more about the rulings of the month of Ramadan. So today we're going to focus on one aspect of Muslims, of believers, that are found in these ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, meaning ayat 183 until 187. One aspect of the Muslim that is found in these ayat is that of the manners of a Muslim. So to delve more into that topic, we first backtrack to what does the word Ramadan mean. Ramadan comes from the root word made up of the letters Ra-ma-ba, which means burning. And what does Ramadan burn for us? It burns our sins, not washes, but burns, subhanAllah. And how will the sins be burned? Because of the good deeds, because of your fasting, your salah, your Quran, your giving of sadaqah. Ramadan will burn the sins with good deeds. So what a loss to have entered Ramadan with all of these virtues and our sins are not burned away. SubhanAllah. Not only do the sins burn away, but even the heart burns with admonitions which make it cry. Think about it. When we talk about Ramadan, when we think back to previous Ramadans, or we ask, why do you miss the month of Ramadan? What is it that you look forward to about? And think about it, whether it's people that we know, friends and family. It could even be friends who are not Muslims. And they often will say, but why? Why do you miss this month so much? Because you're not eating, you're not drinking, your sleep is so limited, you're praying so much. And to someone who may not have tasted sweetness of Iman, it may feel like there is so much of work, in inverted commas, to be done. And yet, when you are to ask a believer, how is it that you love this so much, that you are not allowed to eat, you are not allowed to drink, there is no intimacy, you're watching your speech, your actions, you're giving away your money in sadaqah, in zakat, you are staying up late at night to pray tarawih after a day of fasting, you wake up early to start your day with tahajjud and then suhoor, and then you still continue with your day. right? Most of us, you know, our days still continue. We still have families and homes. We may be studying or working or all three. And our days continue. So how is it that you enjoy this? And subhanAllah, this is probably, you know, one of the more difficult questions to answer on the level of da'wah. Right, when a non-Muslim asks this question, for me personally, I find that it's difficult to really put this into words. So not only do the sins burn away, but even the heart burns with admonition, which makes it cry. And Ramadan is really about us wanting to come closer to Allah. We crave that nearness. We crave that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we might be reciting, of course, we recite Quran other times. But the feeling of reading the Quran in Ramadan is so different. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deprive us of these feelings. Ameen, Ya Rab, Ameen. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Ramadan is teaching us that we're not for ourselves, but for Allah. We've been created for Him, to worship Him. And we need to stop living from a space of making it selfish and that our lives are all about us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. And how much are we fulfilling our desires? And yet we never get satisfied. And so it is that Ramadan burns these desires, so you come out with taqwa. And if we are burning our desires to even drink water, so what about doing haram, seeing haram, looking at haram? Subhanallah. Ramadan burns the sins with good deeds. It burns the heart with admonition, and it burns away the desires. We don't want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know that when we disobey Allah, we do not feel happy. So sins may have a temporary enjoyment, but it is followed with guilt. We need to remember that we're here to worship Allah, and that we need to free ourselves from ourselves and learn to be a true slave of Allah. The joy that is felt when being a slave of Allah cannot be expressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. So don't think when you worship Allah that you're deprived of rizq. Actually, the more you worship Allah, the more that the rizq will come to you. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayat 56 to 58, we are reminded of this. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And I, Allah, created not the jinn and mankind, except that they should worship me alone. I seek not any provision from them, nor do I ask that they should feed me. Verily, Allah is the all-provider, the owner of power, the most strong." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected us and everything around us in order to do our work, which is to worship Allah. So what is the meaning of worship? It is anything which Allah loves, which He is pleased with, and that is done for His sake. So salah, sawm, tilawatul Quran, wudu, smiling, removing any harm from the path, these are all acts of worship. And when they're done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even driving can be a worship if you're fulfilling the rules. And the places you are going to are places that Allah loves. Eating can be a worship when you're doing it for Allah. When what you're eating is halal and tayyib, pure and wholesome. So there are worships which are ordained by Allah, like your salah, sawm, dhikr, Quran, sadaqah. And there are things which we're normally doing, such as eating, drinking, bathing, driving, which can be converted to worship if we are doing it for the sake of Allah. And when we do any worship, it is that we should be doing it out of love and humility. Any act of worship, out of love and humility. May Allah grant us the qualities of love and humility. So if we are to look at the conditions of worship, we can list them as two. Number one, ikhlas. Ikhlas meaning doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And number two, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, when we pray salah, right, we have to do the salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ikhlas, the first condition of worship. And the second is that we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the second condition, following the sunnah. So we pray for the sake of Allah. And we pray to Allah, right? And the second is that we follow the sunnah. We don't make up our own form of praying. We don't pray salah with different postures and different words. We don't add anything in. Everything we read in our salah is following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we're praying our salah in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed his salah. And we are praying to Allah. So the ikhlas and the following of the sunnah, these two conditions of worship are being met. And like that, in everything that we do, that these conditions of ibadah, of worship, be met in everything we do. And so the need for us to know more, to learn more, to understand more about the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very often what happens is we lose sight of that. We lose focus on learning more about the sunnah or understanding the sunnah way of doing things. And yet we need the sunnah as part of that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Now, before anything else, we need to repent. Ramadan is an intense training to be fit in our hearts, right? And repentance comes first. If we're going into Ramadan heavy with our sins, then we won't be able to do the maximum. Look at yourself. And everyone knows himself or herself. What are your mistakes? What are my mistakes? If we are sincere and if we are truthful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the sins in front of us and remind us which sins we need to repent from. There are many, many worships in Ramadan, but we cannot do anything without His might and power. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no might and power except with Allah. Very often we focus on what we can do and what ibadah and our routine, which is really important. But what happens sometimes? We become frustrated, we become annoyed, we become irritated, we lose hope, we despair. Because we forget that though we think we are, yes, making the effort, but everything, everything is from Allah. Our ability to have that stamina, our ability to have that strength, to have that focus, to have that determination, that willpower, that discipline to worship Allah in Ramadan, all of that comes from Allah and Allah alone. It is a great chance in Ramadan to introduce deeds which you were not doing before, or even good deeds that you're already doing. But what is truly needed is لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The reminder in our hearts and on our tongues that there is no might and power except with Allah. Fasting, as we know it, is to hold ourselves back from eating and drinking, right? From the Fajr Adhan until the Maghrib Adhan. And there's no fast if there's no intention. So it means before the Fajr time, we need to have the intention inside the heart to fast for Allah. Deeds or actions without intentions are like drawing in the air. We can have the intention to fast Ramadan, right? But Have we made and renewed and kept that intention? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to remember to make our intentions pure and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, ya Rab. So we've talked about how it's sunnah to delay the suhoor, but it is also sunnah to hasten the iftar. And that the moment the adhan is made, that we break our fast. It is not taqwa to break the fast later, to feel that if I delay breaking my fast, then this means I have more taqwa. This is not Islam. So we've talked about how the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah teaches us some of the regulations, some of the rules about fasting. But also equally, what is so important is to recognize that we learn more about the manners of the believer on fasting and in general from this ayah of the Quran. We learn that we need to have taqwa when we are fasting as well. And having taqwa means also to control ourselves. If a person is a very angry person, they want to become better. They want to learn to control that anger. And the best time to work on it is in Ramadan. See, what usually happens is that we, as human beings, we use the crutch of food and drink. They become emotional crutches for us. And we often numb our feelings. We numb those feelings of sadness, fear, loneliness, anger, hurt and pain through food and drink, either by overeating or by undereating, either by eating in excess or by denying ourselves. And here in Ramadan, we do not have access to these emotional crutches of food and drink. And so taqwa in Ramadan, to learn to control ourselves, Ramadan is an ideal opportunity to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us to not eat or drink to torture ourselves, but to control our behavior. And we can truly be the best version of ourselves in Ramadan, inshallah, trying and doing the best we can, such that, as we know from the sunnah, if someone insults you or picks a fight with you, then you will say, I am fasting. And this will help us, not only in Ramadan, but after Ramadan, to be able to hold our tongue, to be able to weigh our words, to be able to think before we say something. So we're going to go for our ad break, and when we return in the second segment, we're going to look at Salah and make the connection between Salah and the manners of a believer. Stay with us for more after the break. A warm welcome to the second segment of this hour, and here on Living the Legacy today, we're talking about getting our hearts ready for the month of Ramadan, what it means to prepare our hearts for Ramadan, and the role that taqwa plays in preparing our hearts, not just for Ramadan, but for beyond Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are guided to realize the gift that Ramadan has and the gift of fasting. That fasting is not just about depriving us of food and drink, but really it is about teaching us more about ourselves. It is about teaching us how we can develop our characters and how we can build our characters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen, ya Rab. Now, when it comes to our salah, we know and understand there to be that which is the obligatory, the fard salah. And then we have the voluntary, which is our nafil and nawafil. We also know that the most beloved deeds to Allah are the obligations. And that is why Allah has prescribed it to us. And so for this reason, you and I should love the obligations. We should love a fara'id. And that's a very important question to ask ourselves before Ramadan sets in. Do I love my 5 daily salah? Do I love reading my fajr, my zuhur, asr, maghrib, isha? Do I love my 5 daily salah? These, the obligatory acts, are prescribed by Allah, and they are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the obligatory salah, the 5 daily compulsory prayers, the fasting in Ramadan, and the giving of zakat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love our 5 daily salah, who love fasting in Ramadan, and may He make us of those who love giving our zakat. Ameen, Ya Rabb Al-Alameen. In Ramadan, we notice that people rush the Isha so that they can pray the Taraweeh. Have you noticed that? That people often rush through the Isha Salah. They rush either in unnecessarily reading very fast or shortening their ruku and their sujood to the extent that it's like, as the hadith says, like a bird that's just pecking on the ground, you know, up, down, touch the ground. So are we rushing in Ramadan with the fara'id, with our Isha, so that we can get to the Taraweeh? Now, if you've been joining us on the Thursday afternoon program, Revival in Motion, and the past programs are up on podcast as well, you'll know that we're talking about upgrading our salah before Ramadan. We're talking all about things that we can do, practical things to improve the quality of our salah, to deepen the level of khushu', and to literally upgrade our salah, something we've been doing for months or years or decades of our lives, but we may be taking it for granted. It's something we do every single day, five times a day, and often we don't stop to think about how valuable that is. So we're actually, this week, Thursday, going to be looking at part five on the series of Salah, and I'd love if you get to join us either for that live or the recordings on the sweetness of Salah. I'm learning so much in this journey, and I hope you are as well too. So in Ramadan, we find that many people rush the Isha Salah so that they can pray their Taraweeh. And then, again, the Fajr. People will rush it in Ramadan either because after Fajr, they want to do their Quran reading, or they need to get ready for work, or they want to go and rest for a bit. So we need to be really careful about not deliberately rushing through the fara'id, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So if our heart is in the right place, if our heart is with the obligations or with the fara'id, then you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you tremendously. And if you speak to people who really take care in the fara'id, in the third salah that we're talking about now here, you'll notice that for them to then perform their nafil salah or to do nafil acts of ibadah, it becomes so much easier for them. Why? Because they have honored the fara'id. They have honored those deeds and those actions which are compulsory with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they have honored that which is compulsory with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah grants them that barakah in their time and that barakah in their love to do more. So let our hearts be with the obligations, with the fara'id of Islam, so that inshallah we can enjoy not just the fara'id, which Allah loves of course, but also that we then experience the barakah in the nawafil, in the optional. So as a reminder, we have the rawatib. Rawatib are those voluntary salah that are linked to the obligations. Now, by voluntary, we don't mean nafil here, but we mean sunnah or sunnah ghayr mu'akkada. So fajr is the two before the fard, right? That's the sunnah mu'akkada, highly recommended or emphasized sunnah, the two sunnah before the two fard of fajr. Then for dhuhr, we have the four before dhuhr, and then, so we have four sunnah mu'akkada, four fard, two sunnah mu'akkada after the fard of dhuhr. And then maghrib, we have two units after. So after we pray the three fard of maghrib, then we pray the two sunnah of maghrib. And then for Isha Salah, we have the two units after. So after we pray the four fard of Isha, then we have the sunnah mu'akkada after that. And that is a total of 12 units. The two sunnah before fajr, the four sunnah before dhuhr, and the two after dhuhr, the two units after maghrib, and the two units or two rak'ah after isha. This totals 12 rak'ah. And the reward for the person who prays a rawatib, these 12 units, is a house in Jannah. So if there's goals that you're seeking to set for this Ramadan, I would love if you would join me in considering this too. making sure that our rawatib salah are in place every single day, and that we can start building our houses, our places, our palaces in Jannah, inshallah. And really, there is no excuse. We have all the time in the world. If our time is prioritized for anything and everything else before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can we expect anything else to be better for us, right? If everything else that we're prioritizing is for dunya, and we cannot take out those few extra minutes, either before or after the salah for the rawatib, then what's of greater importance in our lives? May Allah make us of those who fulfill the rawatib regularly and daily, and by virtue of this, that we are loved to Allah, beloved to Him, and our reward is a house in paradise. So it's important to start slowly and to build up, to be consistent, to be steadfast in our worship. Then the next is the duha salah, right? And salat al-duha, this is a salah that can be prayed, as scholars say, after sunrise by 12 minutes until before dhuhr by 12 minutes. And you can pray a minimum of 2 rak'ahs. Then we have our witr. And I think for most people, the witr is something they're not missing because they're reading it soon after the Isha as well. Now, we know Ramadan to be the month of the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the righteous predecessors would emphasize on this. And we know that the Sahaba and the Tabi'een would make such great focus on preparing for the month of Ramadan. And their focus was tremendous, alhamdulillah. We know that many of the Tabi'een and Tabi Tabi'een, they would close all other books and focus only on the Qur'an. Whether it was reading the Qur'an, memorizing it, pondering over it, or applying the Qur'an. So let us make that effort this Ramadan to make our day and night with the Qur'an. Let us put down what are our Ramadan goals for this Ramadan. What do we intend to do in terms of Qur'an? Have you started memorizing? What would you like to memorize? And if you have memorized, what would you like to revise? And then what about reading of Qur'an? How much Qur'an do you intend reading? Do you intend reading with translation and tafsir? Or do you intend just reading and then reading the tafsir or translation later on in the day? What about giving time to ponder over the ayat of the Qur'an? When are you going to just sit with what you have heard in a lecture or learned in a class or recited and then sit with that and ponder over it, reflect on it, and take action based on what you've learned? Will you be listening to lectures or attending an online class? What's your routine going to be like this Ramadan with Qur'an? So there will be different routines. Some of us may be wanting to build the routine of Nafil Salah. Some of us may want to make up Qada Salah. Some of us may be focusing on, you know, outreach programs and charity drives. Part of all of that, they will have their own time and space. But right now, in this moment, I'd like you to take a few minutes to think about your Qur'an routine. What is it that you're going to be doing this Ramadan? Where do you hope to start off with your Qur'an? And at the end of the month, what do you hope to have achieved? Is it your aim to memorize a surah or to revise a surah? Or is your aim to understand what you've memorized? Is it to correct your recitation, improve your tajweed? Is it to get in the habit of reading Qur'an daily? So we're looking at what are the habits that we need to develop and we want to develop about the Qur'an this Ramadan. So let's make our day and night with the Qur'an. So let's strive to understand also what we are reading. And when it comes to the Qur'an, there are manners of the Qur'an, of reciting the Qur'an, that we need to adhere by, that we need to follow through with. And this is respect to the Qur'an. The first of which is ikhlas. And ikhlas is really to do something sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Him alone. not as competition, not to prove a point to someone else, not to show others what we can do, but really to do so for the sake of Allah and Allah alone. And that we should not be hasty with the Quran. The next is to have a present heart, that these are the words of Allah, and we should magnify these words. The third is purity, to make wudu. The fourth is to seek refuge with Allah, that before we read the isti'adha and the basmala. And then it is to beautify our voice when we recite. And then that there should be tadabbur, that we ponder over the Qur'an and we ask ourselves what's needed for me. Interact with the ayat. If there's something about the hellfire, seek refuge. If it is about Jannah, ask Allah of His favor. This is really important, to be emotionally engaged with the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Well, we're going to go for an ad break, and when we return after the ad break, we speak to our guest today, Maulana Zakaria Philander, and Maulana is going to be talking to us more about the topic of taqwa and the heart. Stay with us for more after the break. We are now into our third segment of the hour, and as we prepare for the month of Ramadan, our topic and our focus shifts to the heart. Today we're talking all about taqwa and the heart. It's with great honor our guest joining us on the program today, we are very grateful for this, is Maulana Zakaria Philander, a scholar of Islam, an educationist and an imam. His passion for the Quran comes through in the many years he's spent teaching aspects of it at various levels. Though adapted both traditional and critical Islamic discourse, Maulana does not shy away from teaching the basics of reading and understanding the Quran. He was a teacher at Islamia College, then a lecturer at Darul Naim Institute, and tutored in the study of Islam honors program at the University of Johannesburg, South Africa. He served as the director of the Discover Islam Center and as the vice principal at Aradwa American International School in Yanbu, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. As an imam, he served the communities of Wynberg, Retreat, and Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town, South Africa. And we also are aware that, and this is from social media, we're aware of Maulana's launch of his book, The Story of the Quran. We'll talk more about that with Maulana later on the program today. But we'd like to welcome him to the program, Living the Legacy. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And jazakumullah khair, Maulana, for joining us and for availing time from your busy schedule to be with our program today. Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, we are talking about taqwa and the heart as part of preparing our Ramadan legacies. Taking it back to a hadith in Al-Bayhaqi where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the heart is the king and the limbs are its soldiers. So if the king is good, his soldiers will be good. And if he is evil, his soldiers will be evil. Can Maulana explain this to us, please, in the context of taqwa and the heart?
Yes, alhamdulillah, wa salatu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala. What a beautiful metaphor comes from the lips of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to the heart and with regard to action. We know there are numerous hadith pertaining to this topic. You know, there are two important qualities. And these are inner qualities. It's not for us to be able to recognize them and see them, except for the individual himself. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one is intention and the other is sincerity. The place that intention resides is the heart. And the place where sincerity resides is the heart as well. So whatever you have inwardly, this is what hopefully, inshallah, we hope to portray outwardly as well. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that actions are judged according to the intention. So the starting point of doing anything is internal. It is, you have to have an intention of, why am I embarking on what I am doing? You have to give it some thought. And The answer to that why am I doing the action, should be one that is wholesome, it should be one that is pure, it should be one that is going to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the answer to the question of why do I want to do what I want to do is not good, then you need to realign your intention to that which is good. You need to do some introspection. Mm-hmm. You need to put aside whatever nefarious idea you may be had or bad intention you had, and then align that intention once again to that which is good, and inshallah, then that action will be a wholesome action, and you will receive the full benefit and the full reward for that action. On the other side also, there is the aspect of sincerity. Sincerity is also something that man outwardly doesn't have access to. He's unable to see the sincerity in another person. So it is up to the individual to align his actions lillah, purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he knows his intention, what he knows, what it is that he wants to do or she wants to embark upon, then they have to align that intention with ikhlas. And ikhlas is, the simple definition of ikhlas is lillah. It is for Allah. Try to incorporate that into each and everything that we do, that we need to recognize that Allah is the center of our lives and everything rotates around that center. And so if we find maybe that there's another motivation that is propelling us to act or around that intention, then we need to take whatever is in the center, we need to remove it, and we need to place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the center, and then we can make the secondary things peripheral to firstly pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have a good intentions, wholesome, pure intentions, if it is coupled with ikhlas and sincerity, then we are on the right road, that when we do our action, inshallah, our action will speak what is inside of us, subhanallah. Because if outwardly and inwardly there is cohesion and there is coherence, and then this is the beginnings and the beauty of iman. But when the outward action and the inward action, when there is conflict between the two, then this is a very difficult position to be in, because this is actually bordering on nifaq, or hypocrisy, where what is inside is different to what is emanating on the outside. So just as a beginning to this discussion, yes, the hadith mentioned the heart is that important component. And the limbs are the soldiers. If the heart is correct, then the limbs will act correct as well. Subhanallah. What a beautiful metaphor the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had given to that.
Subhanallah. Maulana, we understand from what you've told us about taqwa and its connection to the heart. And many people on this eve, a few days away from Ramadan, people's perspectives are changing, the shift is happening, and the Ramadan breeze is here. We can feel it. Things are, you know, Ramadan is on its way in.
Yes.
People are talking about that now that they've prepared their food, things are ready for Ramadan on the physical level. People are now turning inward, and the topic comes up about inner change, the change that we can feel and experience for ourselves, and not necessarily something that others see. So if a person were to ask that, what would Maulana advise? How do we start that process for inner change?
Yes, what a beautiful month Ramadan is, because it gives us that opportunity to introspect and to reflect and to think about ourselves inwardly. Had it not been for Ramadan, many would not have taken the opportunity, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts this opportunity, alhamdulillah. I would think, you know, let's start with the basics. As a Muslim, what is our testification? Our testification is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. This is a testification that rolls from our lips. It is something, it is an adhkar at times that we are encouraged to do after our salah, to constantly say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, to remind ourselves of our position with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind ourselves of the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is on our lips, we read it as well, so we see it with our eyes. But there's another level to iman, another two levels in fact. The other level is that this testification should reside in your heart. And then finally, this testification should manifest on your limbs. So the month of Ramadan is dawning upon us. We are looking inwardly. I think it's a good time to start reflecting, because we have a few days even before Ramadan, to start reflecting on that testification, on that oath that we took with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are going to put nothing and no one, we are going to give this primary position, this position of ubudiyya, this position of worship, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reverence and this awe, we are going to reserve it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now is the time to reflect upon that. Sit down.
Fantastic, mashallah. So the book, if you listeners, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, and if you would even like to sign up for the course, find out more about the course connected to the book. It's a 6-week course. It sounds fantastic. And there's also upcoming online courses with Maulana. You can visit the website. It's maulanasname.com, spelled ZAKARIYAHPHILANDER.com. You can always email us or send us a text message or contact us at our reception for details of the program guest or the website, and we'd be able to give you those details and share that with you. So for more about to purchase your copy of the book or to join Maulana on the 6-week journey of discovery, a course accompanying the book, and more about upcoming online courses with Maulana, you can visit the website for more details. Maulana, it's been an honor to hear from you today, to benefit from your gems, and no doubt the book is going to reach many hearts. We have many teachers listening, so I'm hoping that this is something that many of our secondary school teachers would hope to bring up with their students and get to learn more about the journey of the Quran. We've benefited so much from you on your gems of Ramadan, and we wish you and your family and community a blessed Ramadan, and ask you to remember everyone at Radio Islam in your du'as, please.
Jazakum Allah khair for the opportunity. I want to take this opportunity also for your listenership. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all in these trying times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that this month of Ramadan, that it is going to be one of the best ones that we have ever seen. And we should remember that we are obviously responsible also for making it one of the best ones. So may Allah protect you. May Allah grant you the best that the month of Ramadan has to offer. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us to a situation where this ummah is an ummah of dialogue, an ummah of consciousness, an ummah that is always assisting one another, and not an ummah of confusion, an ummah of sectarianism. And let us allow this month of Ramadan not to be judgmental upon one another, but rather let us judge ourselves. And in that, let us gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukran for the opportunity, Hafidha. I really appreciate it.
Afwan. Jazakumullah khairan, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Shukran.
We've been speaking to Maulana Zakaria Philander. We spoke to him today about taqwa and the heart, and found out more about his book that's been launched recently, as well as a 6-week online course linked to the book that's happening in April of this year, happening April 17th at the start date. ZakariaPhilander.com is the website for more details. You can always email us, hana@radioislamlive.com, or send us a telegram or WhatsApp message to +60 13 260 8592, and we'll forward you those details, inshallah. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Until we meet again next week, stay inspired. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.